Hey folks, it's getting nigh impossible to deny the effects of the grand solar minimum can be seen all around us. Check out the Chinese domestic apple price literally going vertical, just like the hay prices in Ohio we talked about last time, where these prices aren't going up slowly, certainly not linearly, they are exploding exponentially. If there is a supply at all available tomorrow, it'll be even more expensive. And this is what it looks like when agriculture collapses. It's not a slow burn. It's a hard stop. So let's look a little bit about these apple prices and other fruit prices in China, which have risen so much that it has given birth to the phrase fruit freedom, a concept about, you know, can I actually afford to have an apple today? And there are lots of people, bottom line, who no longer can. I'm a big fan of apples and I've been eating at least one apple a day for decades, but I can't now. I've had to quit eating apples because of this price surge. One of the premiers calling for, quote, appropriate measures to ensure sufficient supply and stable prices. Of course, a centrally planned government can only intervene and mess stuff up worse. But we see that this was due to frosts across China late in the season, in April of 2018, after it had already warmed up a bit, and so the trees were quite vulnerable, and that caused tremendous, in fact, we talked about this on this channel, and we documented it on the Ice Age Farmer crop loss map. These were late season frosts that turned out to produce the largest frost, let me zoom in 10 years. So the biggest frosts in a decade, and freezing tons of trees, damaging the production of Hainan passion fruit production down 50%. We also saw cherry production across the entire country was down 70%. So severe effects on the fruit, but don't take my word for it anymore. The prices are going vertical. So that is the backdrop against which the news of the African swine fever eliminating hundreds of millions of pigs across China. Of course, they've been in the headlines. And we've talked about that extensively here on the Ice Age Farmer channel as well. And then now most recently in this triple just shitstorm. Pardon my French, it's just awful for China right now. Imagine yourself in the shoes of this farmer. It's been a dismal few months. First, you lost your entire pig herd to African swine fever, and now you're dismayed to find your cornfields crawling with mysterious green caterpillars. And this is an important note about the army worm. It is not, you know, it's new. It's moving in because, in fact, we see it's flying up to 100 kilometers a night. So these people, these farmers, have no experience with army worm. They have no idea what it is when they see it, let alone the fact that it's going to wipe out their crop if they get rid of it, which they also don't know how to do, even if they wanted to. It is affecting corn production quite severely. But yeah, this is the triple crown. I don't even know what to call it. Words are failing me at this point when you look at fruit, protein production, and then also the vegetable productions have been affected. So yes, frost, fever, and worms are sowing inflation for Chinese shoppers right now. Average wholesale prices of several fruits climbing about 42%, according to official data, most likely because of cold snaps in the fruit-producing regions. So again, not a mystery what's going on here and why people in China cannot afford to eat the fruit that they want to eat, why they're talking about fruit freedom. So that's a billion people, that's more than a billion people, actively now with a discourse about fruit prices are rising. So those of you who are asking me, when are we going to see this? You know, when am I actually going to experience food price increases or the grand solar minimum? When are people going to feel it? This is it, man. It's hitting mainstream actively right now. I spend 2/3 of the money I made today on just this handful of strawberries and cherries. When can I have fruit freedom? The top search in Chinese social media last month. That's it. It's hitting mainstream. So, as I said, 80,000 hectares of crops were damaged in days-long freezing rain and snow. Electroverse did a good job putting together a bit of the story here on that background for why vegetable prices, too, are rising in China right now. So it is literally, I don't want to use foul language, but it's just a conglomeration of unfortunate circumstances, all of which are contributing to, fundamentally, food prices rising and people being unable to secure the food they're used to eating at the market. And this ties into why people are being asked to shift their perceptions around food and what is edible, ugly produce, cockroach milk, all of these things that we've talked about. It's just an astronomical price increase. All right, so this also, you know, like I said, when it's the most popular search term, it's entered the mainstream consciousness, certainly in China, just as we saw social movements erupting in Italy when they couldn't harvest after the frosts. Let's see, I've got it down here. The orange vests were organized to protest the government after in order to recognize a state of emergency after the frosts of 2018, which took out their olive groves. So this is something that's being seen globally, and now we need to encourage the next part of the conversation. Why are these frosts happening? What is going on? If we're in a fiery hothouse, oblivion, 12 years left to live, warming, climate crisis, and why are all of our crops freezing? And of course, the answer to this question is that we're actually entering a grand solar minimum. This has nothing to do with CO2. It has more to do with our magnetosphere waning, with the galactic cosmic rays we are receiving increasing drastically. The cloud cover, as a result, decreasing. You should watch Svensmark's Cloud Mystery, which speaks to the relationship between cloud cover, and so temperature and precipitation on this planet, and galactic cosmic rays. You can find that here on my channel, or it's posted a bunch of places, so check it out. Now, that's really the situation in China is what I wanted to highlight today and just paint that picture. But it's also worth noting that the USDA put out their latest numbers for the WASD. The ag numbers are pretty much still, they kind of just punted at this point. They said that we're down about 1.5 billion bushels this year after the late planting, the unprecedented, there's that word again, planting delays for corn plantings thanks to the flooding. But this is based pretty much on estimates, and they punted until their June 28th acreage report. So that's what everyone is looking to really get some of the survey-based data back from. Until then, you can really just get a picture looking around. A lot of Ohio farmers won't plant crops at all. The stories that I'm hearing from folks on the ground, and that you can glean not from national media but from local media, like WKBN has several farmers on here speaking about the difficulties they're encountering here in PBS. So there's local media stations are completely full with horror stories about the planting conditions and the problems that farmers locally are facing. And then also Farm Journal put together this map of where they've checked in with farmers who are facing flooding problems, and it looks pretty damning. It's pretty widespread. So definitely worth considering and keeping an eye on those numbers, and worth anticipating that we will be experiencing fruit freedom or corn freedom, food freedom questions here in the States, just as they are already asking the most popular question on Chinese social media, fruit freedom. So this will go mainstream here soon enough. And like I said, the growing season is shrinking. Here we saw, this is in Indiana. Today was the first day of strawberry picking. It's 2 weeks later than usual. So it's not just corn that's being affected. All of the growing seasons are falling away. In Colombia, the plantain harvest is down 30% due to low temperatures. And that is causing prices to increase. And the other thing, there's very heavy rains, which have collapsed roads, making it harder to get products out of the farms. So we're already seeing infrastructure problems that will compound the production problems. And folks, we're up for some fun here. We're up for some challenging times and some creative solutions to these problems. A couple other quick notes before I conclude here. The DNC, I don't know if you've been following this, but there's been a conversation, sort of a public dialogue around whether or not they want to have a climate-focused debate. And they, you know, a few Democrats called for this, and then DNC said, no, that's not, look, folks, that's a hoax. That's not really one we want to take out to the public and actually, you know, lay out there. This is just supposed to be accepted mainstream. So I thought this was interesting that they sort of put the hold on that. If they had a dialogue they were proud of, I'm sure they'd be willing to trot it out there. But it's not. It's a hoax. And a latest voice in the chorus of such voices coming here was Darren Gee, president and CEO of Peyto Exploration Company. Now, I'm sure there's already trolls typing, great, you've got some energy industry guy vouching for the grand solar minimum. Because I hear all the time that I'm employed somehow or compensated by the energy industry to cover up for global warming, which I think is a pretty tired farce of an argument by now. But notwithstanding those trolls, I want to acknowledge Darren Gee included in his public President's Monthly Report information about the Maunder minimum, about how his quite reasonable expectation is that solar output drives the climate. Of course, that's correct. He includes information about the sunspot cycles, the previous minima, and how this corresponds with the Little Ice Age and problems growing crops. So Mr. Gee here, I want to give him props. And I want to mention that this is an energy executive, you know, the president of his company, coming out and educating stakeholders in his company about natural cycles of the sun and what's going on right now. So it's great to see. He is, of course, just the latest of other voices in their industries, like Sean Hackett, who is an investment advisor in ag commodities, and came out and said, we're gonna look at these sunspot cycles. We've got data that goes back from ice cores and tree rings and written testimony corresponding to the problems that they had. We're not doom and gloom. That's not our MO, but we are heading into food scarcity and localized famines. It's going to be difficult. We're going to have to come up with new ways of growing food in this difficult growing seasons. And that is also correct. He was joined by Brent Walker, the insurance actuary, who spoke in his document, The New Grand Minimum. New skills need to be developed by actuaries if we're going to keep assigning accurate probabilities to the outcomes here, including food security being a concern here. So this is not a unique voice. Martin Armstrong has been talking about global cooling, and as he puts it, because he's an economist, a pending bull market for food. In other words, food prices are going up. So neither am I the only person saying that this is going on, nor should any of these voices be discounted. These are industry leaders in many cases. And I hope you're taking some of these voices into consideration. I certainly hope you're taking steps every day to ensure your family's food security going forward. I'm going to skip some of these other ridiculous things. One thing I did want to mention today is that I had taken a look at the share of European labor force that was involved in growing food, saying that most people have been kicked off the land, have no idea how to grow food anymore, with the exception of Poland. RT, as it turns out, just put out this Apples of Discord documentary about the way that the sanctions between Russia and the EU have forced Poland to have really just been clamping down on Poland's farmers. They have been farming and selling to Russia forever, and so as they were forced into the EU and then told suddenly, you know, Russia says we're not going to buy any EU products anymore, so they just lost their livelihood. And it was very sad, and this, I think, is another example of the way that this globalism has whittled away the ability of people to be productive. So farmers in Poland were moving to cities, taking jobs, you know, forced to leave their ways behind them and forced off the land. So Apples of Discord is the name of this documentary, if you want to check it out, in light of what I think is an establishment's attack on our ability to grow food. I heard it put pretty frighteningly the other day that the ability to survive has been bred out of us. And so let the charge today been, let's remember how to survive. And let's start a conversation about that here and now. Folks, thanks for watching. You can always find my work directly on iceagefarmer.com. I've got all of the videos linked up, both the YouTubes as well as BitChute, DTube, Steemit, and then even audio MP3s that are sent out to iTunes and Stitcher and whatnot. So thanks for your support on Patreon and for watching and for sharing this message. When you see a billion people asking, will I be able to afford fruit right now? You know we've entered a new point in this story where food scarcity is on the lips of the rest of the people in the world. So let's go build anti-fragile communities and grow abundantly. Take care.